and good evening and welcome here on KODY, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM, and a special welcome as well to all of our viewers on our Facebook page as well. If you have not followed us on Facebook yet, tonight's a good night to do so. Just simply search for KODY 1240. Joining me this evening as our co-moderator is George Lobby of the North Platte Bulletin. George, of course, a co-host for Mugs in the Morning every Tuesday and the editor of the North Platte Bulletin. George, good to see you in the
good
studio
evening.
This evening.
Yeah, good to be here.
Glad to have you in the studio.
Yeah, it's exciting here. We're going to put a couple guys on the spot and see how they do.
Absolutely. We're going to begin things this evening, obviously. And I think this is going to be a good opportunity, George. Here at KODY, we've been highlighting different races, and I know that you at the Bulletin have been highlighting different races here locally as well.
Right.
So
right.
What are you most looking forward to tonight from our two candidates?
Well, I think, the mayor's got a big, important role to perform in the city as an ambassador and as a decision maker. And it's a tough job. And we got two people here with a lot of experience, a lot of passion for the community, and doing the job well. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they're going to answer. We're going to drill down a little bit and ask them some particular questions and see what they say here and see what the differences are.
The thing that I like about this, too, is you'll be able to hear directly from the candidate. And I know that's what you've been able to read directly in the Bulletin as well. You've seen the direct responses from the candidate. You'll hear the direct responses from the candidate this evening as well. And you mentioned the mayor's job is extremely important here in the city of North Platte. And one of the biggest news stories of 2020 has without a doubt been the decision that Dwight Livingston made and to not run for re-election.
Right.
That immediately was a big news story, as he's been one of the most popular mayors that the city has ever had and done a great job in making some difficult decisions and steering the city. So as soon as Dwight made that announcement, the big question was raised, who will be the next mayor?
That's right.
And we now have that answer narrowed down to two individuals.
Right, we have a field of candidates jumped forward and said, I'd like to be mayor. And I think there were six at one time.
Yep, I think six was
on. And now
it's
twiddled down to two. At the primary, we should explain, if you didn't happen to notice, that the primary eliminated four candidates. The top two vote-getters advanced to the general election in November, which is actually it's election season right now, but election day is coming up real soon, November 3rd.
Yep. And we'll go ahead and meet both of our candidates. We'll begin with the gentleman just to my right, Brandon Kelleher, candidate for mayor of North Platte, and his opponent directly across from me here for our folks watching on Facebook, John Hales. Gentlemen, we appreciate the time this evening and look forward to diving into it once again.
It's going to be fun.
You're glad you're here, right?
Absolutely.
We're glad
so far.
Where else would I rather be?
There you go. Well, we're really glad you're here.
So a bit of a housekeeping note here. We will be broadcasting this live, obviously, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM. Tune in online, huskerradio.com, the KODY mobile app, or on your smart assistant, rather be Google or Alexa. Just ask them to play KODY. And then this is also being streamed live on our KODY Facebook page as well. You can go view it there at any point. And then we will have this audio posted online as well at a later date as well, probably sometime by later today. So George and I have worked together to make a list of questions. Each candidate in our debate tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday has been given a list of topics we would discuss. They've not been given the official questions, but they know a little bit about the topics that we're going to discuss here throughout the evening. And we're going to throw a couple of curveballs, I guess you could say, to each candidate to see how they do on their toes and see how that decision-making is out of the spur of the moment. Because George and I both agree that's an important part about having an elected official and making your decision ahead of the November election, or if you plan to vote by mail prior to that. So we will go ahead and dive into the candidates' questions. George and I will rotate each question, and we'll try to allow the same amount of time on each individual question response as well. And if the situation warrants it, we will allow candidate A to respond to candidate B, just for an example. So we'll go ahead and begin by allowing each candidate a quick minute to give a brief background on themselves, and we'll go ahead and begin with John Hales.
Thank you, Tristan. Thank you, George. I'm so glad you guys put this together, because I know there's been a lot of discussion about not having a public forum, a public debate, so I'm glad you guys put this together and were able to do this tonight, so thank you for that. I've lived here with my wife, Jan, and three boys. Moved here in June of 92, so we've been here a little over 28 years. This we call our home now. We've lived here long enough. Prior to this, I'd never lived in one town more than 6 years, so this has become home. When we came to town, my wife was recruited at the hospital. She worked with Brandon for a lot of years. And then I came to work, and Sixth Street Foods had their office here, and my whole background is grocery business. I was in the grocery business for about 35 years, so I went to work for USAVE. And then from there, I went to work for B&D Office City and worked there for 10 years, and then over to the Chamber for the last 6 years of my life, and have been retired for a year and a half now. So North Platte's my home, and I want it to continue to be my home. And so we love it here, Jan and I both, and there's nothing that keeps us here other than we just love it. We don't have any family around to keep us here or anything like that. We just like being here.
All right, very good. Thank you, John. Now, Brandon, if you could give us a little bit of a brief background on yourself, please.
Certainly. I just want to echo John's thanks to everyone involved, KODY, D&N Event Center, and, of course, the Bulletin for taking the time to set this up. It's obviously been a challenging year for everybody who's trying to campaign, so I think I can safely say for everyone, we all appreciate your time. I was born and raised in North Platte. I'm currently 51 years old, so you can figure that out. I was born right at the very end of the 60s.
Okay.
Anyway, I've spent most of my life here except for the 5 years I was away in school. My first real job here in North Platte was at the Sport Shop working for the O'Connors, and then I've had various other jobs here, including TC Engineering, and started my own business called NetQuest with some partners in 1995, and started working for the hospital in about 1998, and I'm just starting my 23rd year with Great Plains Health right now.
Okay. Thank you, Brandon. Mm-hmm.
So extensive backgrounds, both of you, here in the city, and a lot of opportunities to do different things and get familiar with a lot of different aspects of the city. So that's great. More specifically, what kind of experience and qualifications do you feel like you possess in order to make you a good mayor of North Platte? Brandon, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, I've definitely helped run multiple organizations, some of them volunteer, such as I've been the president of Rotary, I've started to revitalize the local Toastmasters group and done other things like that. I've helped with the fitness series and done many minor volunteer things over the years. The reason that I really feel like, though, I'm really qualified to be the mayor is because I've worked sort of at all levels of the community. I've been the employee. I started out working at the Sports Shop. I worked for TC Engineering, and I've steadily worked through the ranks. And then I've been an entrepreneur. We've brought NetQuest here, me and partners, and we're the first internet provider in this area back when there was dial-up and everything made noise to connect to the internet, which is always fun to remember. And then, of course, I worked for a much larger organization, and I worked through the ranks of that organization up to where I'm now an executive in that organization. And so I've seen business from really all perspectives in the course of my career. My current job involves a lot of negotiation, a lot of working with people, and a lot of being an ambassador for various things. And so using those skills, I believe I'll be the best mayor.
All right. John?
Well, myself, I've been in business pretty much all my life, managing stores in the grocery store business and handling lots of employees over the time, larger number of employees. So I'm able to deal with people on a day-to-day basis and do, I think, a great job of communicating with people and listening to people. There's not anybody that I can't get along with, I've said over the years. And with my community interaction with the boards and people that I've sat with on boards, I've got to know the community that way probably the best of anything. And I think it gives me a great insight into what goes on in a day-to-day operation here in the city. After I retired, that was the first thing I missed the most, was not spending more time, is near as much time directly connected with what's going on in the city, because the chamber, that job prevails itself to that real well. So I missed that right away. So I've, continued to be on different committees and involved with different organizations in town to keep me in touch with what's going on in the city. And I think that gives me a great insight as to what needs to be done with the city and what I can do to help with the city. And I think that's why I'd make a good mayor.
We mentioned at the beginning of our debate that we have several questions for both of our participants this evening that they were unaware of the topic that we would possibly bring up. George and I have discussed these together, and we're going to begin with our first one, and it goes to you first, Brandon. What kind of music do you enjoy listening to?
I like all sorts of music, but probably my favorite music is 70s and 80s rock.
Okay.
But I do enjoy country music, and a very, very small, specific set of opera is pretty cool. But if you went out and looked at my truck right now, you'd see it on classic rock.
Okay. John, same question to you.
Well, I'm pretty much a classic rock guy with concentration more on blues. I really like good southern blues, and I like orchestral music too. You know, I sing in Heartland Singers, and I love to sing. So, music is a big part of my life that I really enjoy.
Okay.
Well, we thought that was an important question because I think the people at City Hall want to know what kind of music might be blaring out of your office if you're fortunate enough to be elected.
And I would love to have it blaring. I probably wouldn't get away with that.
But it sounds like you both enjoy the same type of music, so no big concerns over City Hall as of right now.
There will be no rap.
We'll see what comes out of this.
I don't know what the folks at City Hall like, but I'm pretty sure we can adjust.
We can find some common ground.
Yes, I think so.
Okay, I guess it's John's turn to answer first. What originally motivated you to run for office?
Well, you know, it's something I'd thought about for a couple of years, and when Dwight was still in office, Dwight's I consider a good friend of mine, and I didn't want, you know, to run against him, so as long as he was going to stick around, I wasn't going to run. Well, when he made the decision not to run, then I talked to him about it, talked to Jim Hawks about it and some other people, and they encouraged me to do it. So I thought, well, I'm retired now. I don't have anything better to do. That's not true, but it allows me the time to do this job because it is a full-time job and takes all your resources to get it done. So I decided to throw my hat in the ring.
Okay. There is a time factor involved a little bit, and we might get to that a little more specifically later, but Brandon, what motivated you?
Well, what motivated me to run for the mayor is really concern for my hometown. We all know that North Platte has been in a relatively slow, steady decline, especially in the last couple of years recently, just due to the decline in retail and, of course, the layoffs in the railroad and things like that. And whether that's a real decline or an imaginary decline, I don't know that we've seen all the numbers to know that for sure, but it certainly seems like the town is headed in the wrong direction at the moment. And I didn't want to continue to see the town decline, so my wife and I got together and some other folks, and they said, you know, you should probably either do something about it or figure out how to get on with your life. And I said, well, I'm not the sort of person to sit around, so I'm going to do something about it. And that's what led me to running for mayor.
All right.
Okay.
Good answer.
Let's dive into a little bit more of, I guess, a hard-hitting question here. Brandon, I believe it's your turn to answer first. If you're elected as the next mayor of North Platte, Brandon, what do you strive to accomplish?
I think the primary thing that we have to do first as the community is to get better at working together, which is going to take some time because it's going to take a little bit of a culture adjustment and some adjustments in thinking. Honestly, that's why Kearney beats us a lot, is because they do know how to work together. And I don't mean to say that things are perfect in Kearney, because things aren't perfect anywhere, but that's one of the reasons that we get beat. So I will be striving to help our community work together, and I will try to focus the community on growing our existing businesses and figuring out how to bring some new businesses to town. And that takes a lot of effort. Everyone sitting in this room knows that. But I think that we talk a lot about new business in our community, and we have to remember that new business can be our existing businesses growing, or it can be something new coming to town. And we have to make sure that we're focused on doing both at the same time. And we have to figure out how to work together, or we will not be able to improve our community.
Okay, John, same question to you. If elected as the next mayor of North Platte, what do you strive to accomplish?
Well, I think one of the biggest things we need to accomplish is beyond the working together, which we definitely need, and we always need to work in partnerships with businesses and things like that. We need to bring people into town. We need to grow our population, and one way we grow our population is through new businesses, supporting the businesses we have, and then bringing in manufacturing and industry is one area that I would like to concentrate on. With the new rail park that's been approved that we're going to have up and running shortly, that gives us an opportunity there. When I was at the chamber, one of the things that we always ran into trouble with was attracting businesses because they needed a way to ship their product on rail, and we did not have a way to do that. So we lost a number of businesses along those regards because of that. So we need to, growing your population base is probably one of the easiest fixes there is to increase your town and make your town better, because it brings more money into town, it allows more businesses to open and operate, and it just creates a better atmosphere. You can lower your property taxes through a volume of people, so you just got to bring people to town.
Thank you, John. And I think you brought up a good point there, so I want to. We do have our first break of the hour coming up here in just a minute, but before we get to that, I want to ask you both a question that kind of just came to my mind now. We'll start with you, John. John, obviously we talk a lot about bringing new business to North Platte, and that's important, but you also mentioned helping existing business. So if you're elected as the next mayor of North Platte, how do you plan to help the great existing businesses that we already have here within our community?
Well, see, that's where you have your delicate balance. You don't want to concentrate solely on bringing new business to town and let the present businessmen just fall by the wayside. You need to take care of them too. You go to them and you say, what are your wants and needs to make your business grow, make it more successful? And then you deal with it on that level. If it's more money, you look at helping them with grants and ways to attain that money. The Quality Growth Fund, that's one of the uses of the Quality Growth Fund, is to establish new businesses, but to also have businesses that want to grow, that money's available for them there too. So that's what I would do.
Okay. And same question to you, Brandon. If you're elected as the next mayor of North Platte, how do you plan to help some of the great existing businesses we have here within our community?
I believe we have to make great use of the Quality Growth Fund as well. It's definitely something we have to do. We also have to make it easy to do business in North Platte, and that's something that helps with the perception of our community. We've all heard the stories about developers saying it's hard to do business in North Platte and it's easy in other places in the state. And whether that's a reality or whether that's a perception, we have to change that. And in bringing more people to town and bringing more businesses, if it's easy, we'll bring people and we'll bring them easily, and that will help the existing businesses and it will help our economy in general. If we can't make that step of making it easy to do business by improving our processes within the city, within everybody that's involved in bringing something to town, then we probably won't be as successful.
Okay, thank you both. We do need to step aside for a quick commercial break here on KODY's 2020 Mayoral Forum. This evening our coverage is brought to you, is presented by North Platte Kubota and the DNN Event Center. I want to thank our other in-studio sponsors tonight, including the North Platte Bulletin, the DeWitt Center, and Tallman Jewelers in downtown North Platte. Our coverage continues right after this on 1240 AM, 106.1 FM, and online as well, and on Facebook.
Creative Landscapes of Nebraska, right here in North Platte, will have your yard going from drab to fab. It's getting to be that time of year where your yard needs that spring cleanup. The team to do that is Creative Landscapes of Nebraska. They'll do commercial and residential yards, including weekly yard maintenance. Creative Landscapes is now doing swimming pools, as well as standard patios, water features, and retaining walls. Go from drab to fab with Creative Landscapes of Nebraska. See them on the web at creativelandscapesofnebraska.com.
When it's time to buy a new utility tractor, it's time to go big. It's time to go orange. It's time to go to North Platte Kubota. Now open at a new location, 1301 South Jeffers. Right now, all utility tractors are zero down and 0% APR for up to 60 months. Plus, 90 days, no payments. With a new Kubota utility tractor, you can lift, move, push, pull, and grade. Go big. Go orange. Go Kubota. Find yours at North Platte Kubota, your locally owned tractor dealer, now at 1301 South Jeffers.
Christmas is not that far away, and while selections are at their best, Karen at Tallman Jewelers says she'll help you lay away for Christmas. Stop in at Tallman's for pre-holiday savings on diamond earrings and pendants, engagement sets, anniversary bands, and colored stones. If you have family heirloom jewelry that you want to give as a gift with a completely new look, give Karen time to work her magic by taking it to Tallman Jewelers today. Remember, Tallman's buys used karat gold. Tallman Jewelers on the bricks at 503 North Dewey in downtown North Platte.
If you're eligible for Medicare, now is the time to review your health insurance coverage. The Medicare annual enrollment period is here, and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska has a Medicare Advantage plan that will fit your needs now and in the future. We're there for you, whatever life brings. That's the benefit of Blue. Visit nebraskablue.com/AEP to enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan by December 7th. That's nebraskablue.com/AEP or call 833-224-4886.
With many reasons to purchase John Deere, one of the primary reasons is the valuable service and support you will receive from Acres Equipment. Whether the conditions are pre- or post-season, spring, summer, or fall, John Deere Equipment combined with our knowledgeable team provide optimal resources to increase performance and uptime, lower cost of operation, and excel in ever-changing competitive markets. Our experienced group of sales, parts, and service experts create a winning team. We are committed to your success. Acres Equipment, North Platte.
When it's time for home improvements, it's time for the Do It Center. Great people, super service, that's the Do It Center tradition. We're here to support you with answers to make your home improvement projects a huge success. Our aisles are filled with high-performance products, backed by our huge warehouse and an unbeatable guarantee. When you need to get that home improvement job done right the first time, shop with folks you know. The Do It Center, employee-owned for over 20 years.
Lincoln County's outstanding news alternative is the North Platte Bulletin. For 17 years, the Bulletin has informed you of breaking news, courts, entertainment, state news, and sports from Lincoln County area, courtesy of an experienced staff that delivers unbiased and honest news coverage. Pick up a copy of the Bulletin in Lincoln County and surrounding towns. Subscribe or check out NorthPlatteBulletin.com. Annual subscriptions come at an affordable price. The Bulletin, your homegrown hometown newspaper.
And welcome back to KODY's 2020 Mayoral Candidate Debate. It's been presented by the North Platte Kubota and the D&N Event Center. Tristan Winder, glad to be with you in the studio this evening, alongside George Lombe, our co-moderator this evening. And we have both John Hales and Brandon Kelleher, our two candidates for mayor of North Platte, joining us here this evening. If you're just joining us, we've kind of gone into a little bit of background on both of our candidates, and we started to discuss some more hard-hitting questions by discussing how to help local businesses most recently, and asking both candidates what they strive to accomplish if they're elected as our next mayor of North Platte. So, George, you have the next question.
In summary. This is a little more hard-hitting, and it's about the health district, and they have quite a bit of authority at this present time to tell residents what to do in terms of COVID precautions. And that decision by the city council to grant them the authority has been a controversial decision. Of course, everything with COVID is kind of controversial because nobody's ever really dealt with this before. But what do you think? Should the city council continue to give the health department authority over COVID precautions in town? And I think it's your turn, Brandon.
Okay. Thanks, George. I do not think that the city council should probably continue to do that. I don't think it's in the best interest of the business people and the citizens of North Platte. And if I'm the mayor, I will at least throw out the idea and try to accomplish canceling that memorandum in January, which is the required time frame to cancel it. Having said that, though, I do want to make it very clear that it's very easy for all of us to sit here in October and second-guess the decisions that were made in March and April. Mm-hmm. We know a lot more about COVID today than we did back then. We're much better as a nation in treating it. The survival rate is much higher. So I don't want anyone to take my answer as saying the city council necessarily did the wrong thing. I just think that we can have a different approach going into the new year.
Do you have, let me just ask you to drill down just a hair, do you have a mind, do you have a plan for who would be on the committee?
Well, I'd like to create a committee in lieu of just handing the authority to the West Central, and obviously someone from West Central should be there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could have a couple people from the medical community. I think we should have a couple sitting city council members on there,
okay.
And at least some sort of representative from the business community, perhaps a Chamber of Commerce person, and probably somebody from the schools would be good to have there. And let that group recommend decisions to the city council, and let the city council vote on what to do from there.
Okay. John, what do you think?
Well, I might be a little opposite on Brandon on this. You know, at the time, I think it was the best thing we had going for us because, you know, COVID was new. Nobody knew how to handle it. So, you know, the city council, the administration, whatever, thought to themselves, you know, who do we go to kick this off to get us headed down the right path? So, you know, they went to West Central Health. And I thought, you know, given the circumstances, I thought West Central Health has done a good job with it. I know they worked closely with the city administration and the council to make sure they felt like they were going down the right path. And I just, given the circumstances, I just think they did a good enough job for us to get us to where we are today. You know, we've tended to follow the state recommendations from Governor Ricketts and the health department from the state, and then kind of drilled it down to us here. And I think, you know, if they were doing a bad job, I don't think people would be going to them like they are, because when we have an event scheduled or something like that, West Central District Health is the people they go to say, hey, should we do this or should we not? And they're not saying no to everything. So they're giving recommendations to these people and that are running these events and saying, here's our recommendation, but it's, you know, leaving it up to them still to do what's right. So all in all, I don't think they've done a bad job. And I would agree. It'd be great if we could put together a community response team of healthcare professionals, Chamber of Commerce, you know, mayor, whoever, and put them on this council and discuss some of these things going forward. So for right now, what we have, I think, is the best we can do. So down the road, yeah, we could change it.
And I think you both bring up a good point, too. With hindsight's 2020 with the coronavirus, we know more today than we did when we were originally dealing with this pandemic. But at the same time, I think this is a pandemic that is far from over, and whoever is elected our next mayor will have to battle this virus. It's a matter of how that individual has to battle the virus. And I want to bring up as well that the West Central District Health Department does have the Public Health Command Center. Our current mayor, Dwight Livingston, does serve on that center, I guess you'd say, board, and it's not necessarily a governing board of sorts or a recommending board. If I understand correctly, George, it's kind of a board that is there to update the public. It's kind of what I've seen that board's...
Yeah, I believe so, and it's critical occupations or functions around town, like the police department, fire mm-hmm. department, schools.
The hospital's on there.
Right, right. And they can not only provide some information up to date about what's going on, but they can take action to implement measures that have to be implemented in critical ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the major complaint that people have had is that this non-elected body, and I think if they felt like there was some kind of recourse they had to answer to the voters, they might be a little more responsive to the public's concerns and needs. I think we've seen a little friction with the chamber over a couple decisions and some of the other functions that have gone on around town. So
well, it's like they say.
Interesting answers.
You're never going to please everybody all the time. I mean, and that's really part of it. What's good for one group is not so good for the other, and so it is a tough balance. It really is.
Want to ask you both, too. Obviously, we mentioned on the Public Health Command Center a little bit ago, a lot of members that do serve on that body, but our current mayor, Dwight Livingston, serves on that from the mayor's office. Brandon, if elected the next mayor of North Platte, would you maintain the mayor's position on the Public Health Command Center? I don't know. I guess it's kind of tricky, too. If a committee is formed, we don't know if the Public Health Command Center would stay intact, but obviously for the foreseeable future, the Public Health Command Center would stay intact. So if you're elected, would you take over the mayor's seat on that board or take over the mayor's seat at least.
Yes, I certainly would, because even if we move to cancel the memorandum in January, it doesn't actually end until April, which would be approximately a year after it was signed, give or take a few days. And so something would have to be done in that intervening period, and something different would have to be developed, whether it be a new committee or we convert the existing committee. I don't think that detail is highly relevant at this point. The point is to get a little better representation on there so that the people of the community feel like they're being represented and there's some responsibility to the elected officials.
And same question to you, John. If you're elected as the mayor, would you serve as a member on the Public Health Command Center as long as it's intact or necessary, I guess maybe the proper term?
Well, to me, that's a no-brainer. Of course you would. As mayor, that's part of, you know, understanding and having the heartbeat of the community in your pocket. So, yes, I would continue to be on there and serve. I mean, I'd love it because that's just another way of being well-informed as a mayor as to what's going on in your city.
Is there anything else that either one of you wanted to add on that train
topic.
Of thought? On the topic?
Not really.
Let's just hope it all ends soon.
Yeah, I think we all have that common goal. It'd be
great. I can vote for that.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, moving on now into more business questions here. How should the city respond to the economic challenges that we face with layoffs and the closing of businesses? And I believe it's your turn to answer first, John.
Well, you know, we have to first and foremost get away from the dependence that we have on UP as our major employer in town. You know, obviously they've seen some hard times in the last year, and things don't look great for UP. And of course, in the past, our city has always run like UP runs. If UP is up, we're up. If UP's down, we're down. So we have to get away from the dependence on them. And like I said before, look for more manufacturing and industry to come to town. Right now, we only have one manufacturing facility in town, and that's Masonite. And we have to have more diversity as far as that goes in business and industry. And that would give us an opportunity, like now where we have the layoffs at UP, there's good skilled labor there that we're losing. Most of them are, I assume, leaving town from what I've heard. And we could keep those people in town and send them to another manufacturer or industry to continue to live here and be employed here.
Okay, and Brandon, same question to you. How should the city respond to the economic challenges that we face with the layoffs and closing of business?
I think it would be fantastic if our community could attract a large manufacturing entity. However, I don't think in the near term that's probably very likely, if for no other reason than COVID-19. I mean, a lot of companies aren't really expanding, and that's not an area they're expanding a lot in. So my plan, and what I think that we need to at least spend some time focusing on, is trying to capitalize on the skill sets that we already have in the area. So we all know that we have a lot of agriculture in this area, and we also have a lot of what you might call logistics or transportation, railroad, trucking, that sort of thing. And I think that we need to focus on the idea of doing a second level of agricultural development. Obviously, we produce a lot of agricultural products around here. And one thing I would love to see us do is a grain processing facility. And that is a relatively small operation in most cases that employs somewhere between 10 and 25 people. And I would love to see us maybe do a feed mixing facility, another facility that would employ 10 or 20 people. And the idea is to get several small operations of 10 or 20 facilities that have well-paying jobs, could probably locate in buildings we have today. And then we have people here, they're employed. And when we get good in a few years at doing those small manufacturers, we'll start to attract more and more small manufacturers to our area because we're going to improve our capabilities and our knowledge in our city. And in doing so, then we'll probably be able to attract a larger operation, especially when the rail park that was mentioned earlier gets into place. That's something that is really critical to handling a much larger manufacturing entity. We've got to have that, or our chances are just so small of getting something here because you've got to truck everything here. And why not bring it on a rail car when you can do that? Okay. I also think that there are several other opportunities around things that we can do, but we have to start relatively small businesses and build our capabilities in our community. We have to involve the college and see what we can do that's a little bit new, that's an augment to our skill sets that we have here today.
Okay, thank you both.
Yep, good answers. Okay, my turn to fire a question.
I believe
so. All right. I think you both touched on this a little bit just briefly earlier, but where do you stand on the renewal of the Quality Growth Fund? And feel free to expound a little bit on that. Brandon,
you want to make that a long answer? Is that
well,
what you're
no,
saying?
I, okay. Not too long.
Well,
but,
four score. No, I'm sorry.
But it's a big question,
yes.
And it's on a lot of people's minds, so delve into it.
I think the Quality Growth Fund is something that we have to do, and I completely support it. Just discussing the argument, there's two sides of this discussion. One is that with the Quality Growth Fund, you have a group of people who's sort of deciding where those funds go, and then it's then ratified by the city council. And so there's some thought that maybe having that group of people make these decisions with what is public money perhaps maybe isn't the most appropriate. My opinion is that I think it's the way to go. I think having that group making those decisions is something that would be helpful, and I think that we need to support the Quality Growth Fund. The counter argument to that is, of course, that if we just put that money into the general fund, then we could use that money for other things, and the statistic I've heard is that we could drop the city portion of property taxes by somewhere around 15 to 18%. So just to give you some perspective, since percentages are hard to deal with, I have a rental house, and it's probably worth about $90,000. But let's say it's worth $100,000. So the city portion of the property taxes on that $100,000 house is about $515. So if I were to drop it 15%, you know, I'm still not very high. It's not very much money per year. So I think that putting that money into the Quality Growth Fund is really the best thing for our community right now. 10 years from now, it might be something different. If we can successfully grow this town, then the need for the Quality Growth Fund a decade from now might be a little different. It's hard to say. We'll have to see what if you guys are still sitting here interviewing two other guys 10 years from now, you can talk about what John and I said, okay?
All right. Well, I put a sign in my yard.
Okay.
Is that good enough?
You're supporting.
So you must support. At least your yard supports the Quality Growth Fund.
Well, I mean, you know, it's obviously a no-brainer for me because I work for the chamber, and the chamber was the one that, you know, was the administrator of the Quality Growth Fund. So, you know, for 6 years I had it pounded into my head that, you know, we have to support the Quality Growth Fund. But to me, you can't do it without it. You know, I will say we have another opportunity that's coming down the road that details are being worked out with right now, and that's our community has been, what shall I say, accepted as a land bank community. And land bank communities, of which we're only the third in the entire state, have the opportunity to create a fund that can help with purchasing land in town that is run down, dilapidated, abandoned land, and you can purchase it and use it, you know, to build houses, to build businesses, whatever. On so that's going to come into play in probably the next year. So that will be another opportunity for us to have a fund that can help with businesses coming to town. So, but the Quality Growth Fund. We just have to have it. There's no two ways about it. I understand, you know, Brandon's idea of lowering our property tax, but I just think that would get lost in the weeds maybe, and so I would like to see the Quality Growth Fund continue. And I've had a number of people call me and ask me about it, which really surprised me because I thought it was pretty straightforward. But there are some people out there that still don't understand it, so I've been able to give them insight on that, and that's really been good.
Okay.
Yeah. Just so we're clear, I wholly support it, too, and I was just mentioning the counter-argument. I don't think that we should lower the property taxes. I think we need the Quality Growth Fund.
And in discussing the Quality Growth Fund, too, I think you brought up a good point, Brandon. The Quality Growth Fund Committee is a member of individuals locally here in the city, and I believe the mayor appoints those individuals to that committee. Am I correct with that? Do you guys know?
That's my understanding.
If yes. I understand correctly.
Yes.
So I think that brings up a very good point, too, here that we need to discuss as we have both candidates here in the studio with us. That's an extremely important job that the mayor has, is appointing different individuals within the community to different boards, advisory committees, advisory councils, and things along those lines. So I believe we'll start with you, John. What kind of individuals, if you're elected as the next mayor of North Platte, what kind of people would you look to fill these open seats on committees or organizations, assuming that an individual terms out of one, or maybe there's a retirement or somebody moves out, something along those lines?
Well, obviously you look for strong people that are associated with the city, you know, that are involved either business-wise or just community-wise, that are, you know, in touch with what's going on in the city. And it's, you know, it's not somebody, you don't put somebody on there that doesn't know anything about our city and what is going on. So well-informed people that are smart, good business people, that's the kind of people that you put on that, on most boards.
And same question to you, Brandon. What kind of people would you strive to place on these boards? I think this is an important job that the mayor has that maybe is a little overlooked, because these are, it's an elected official appointing individuals to appointed seats. So it's kind of nonchalantly an elected official appointing a lot of people to different seats, possibly.
I think you want people who are good thinkers, and you need people with a vision. And I believe in our community, we probably need to look at appointing some people in the next few years that haven't traditionally been on boards. And, I mean, you have to have some people that have some knowledge on the subject. There's no question about that. But there's also, you have to sort of grow that younger group of people that are going to have some experience, and they need to get in and know something about the city and how it works. And if they don't get involved, particularly with the younger generation these days, they're probably not going to know everything they should know. And someday we're going to be too old to worry about this stuff, and somebody else is going to have to do these things. And so I would like to see some more women and some more younger people involved on some of these boards. And not to say there aren't women on the boards now, but we could maybe use a few more. And I'd also like to see some people with some real vision for the community about what they want to accomplish by being on these boards.
And one thing I've noticed, too, is of recent, especially in the election year, it seems like some of these individuals that are appointed to these boards or serve on these types of committees eventually end up running for different offices or maybe different boards. I think Ty Lucas is a good recent example. Pete Bowles, we'll hear from here in the future, both members of the Planning Commission, one a current councilman, another running for council. So I think that these are important positions, George, and I think it's important to know what the mayor and the future mayor thinks in appointing individuals to these boards and what the thought process is, so to speak.
I agree. I think it's a great question.
Well, you know, and I think we see that in the community. It may not be visible to a lot of people, but we have organizations that develop people like that. So when the mayor needs to appoint someone, he can look at their history and say that, yes, they were involved in this, or yes, they are involved in this. I think ambassadors and hostesses is a good example of that.
And you both are involved in Rotary as well, so I think Rotary is another good example. So.
And all those organizations, Rotary being a perfect example, are trying to get younger just for that reason. So we do have a replacement coming up when we hang it up as old guys.
Yeah, that's true. It's a big deal. That's another reason why we've got to get more jobs to town. We've got to bring more younger people, and they're gonna be the future of our community, so we need them here.
Yep. And it's a fine balance, too, between bringing younger people to North Platte, but also bringing the North Platte natives or Lincoln County natives or Western Nebraska natives back here to the good life, as I like to call it.
Well, that, you know, that's just icing on the cake when you can get a native back, you know, and things like that, because they have a certain amount of knowledge up front.
Yep. Okay, perfect. We do need to take another quick commercial break here. Again, you're listening to the KODY candidate debate. This evening we have both candidates for mayor of North Platte joining us here in the KODY studios, that, of course, being John Hales and Brandon Kelleher. We'll continue our debate coming up after this. Again, our debate coverage this evening has been presented by the D&N Event Center and North Platte Kubota. Keep it tuned here to KODY. We'll continue the debate right after this.
Christmas is not that far away, and while selections are at their best, Karen at Tallman Jewelers says she'll help you lay away for Christmas. Stop in at Tallman's for pre-holiday savings on diamond earrings and pendants, engagement sets, anniversary bands, and colored stones. If you have family heirloom jewelry that you want to give as a gift with a completely new look, give Karen time to work her magic by taking it to Tallman Jewelers today. Remember, Tallman's buys used karat gold. Tallman Jewelers on the bricks at 503 North Dewey in downtown North Platte.
It's a part of life. As the weather gets colder, we get older, affecting our mood, suppressing our immune systems, and causing unwanted pressures on the joints. Natural Nutrition House in North Platte has the remedies and the expertise to assist you in your journey to wellness this season. From all natural, non-GMO, and gluten-free options, to mood boosters and supplements for the whole body, inside and out. Visit Judy at the Natural Nutrition House in North Platte. That's the big white house on the corner of Sticks and Vine.
When it's time to buy a new utility tractor, it's time to go big. It's time to go orange. It's time to go to North Platte Kubota. Now open at a new location, 1301 South Jeffers. Right now, all utility tractors are zero down and 0% APR for up to 60 months. Plus, 90 days, no payments. With a new Kubota utility tractor, you can lift, move, push, pull, and grade. Go big. Go orange. Go Kubota. Find yours at North Platte Kubota, your locally owned tractor dealer, now at 1301 South Jeffers.
When it's time for home improvements, it's time for the Do It Center. Great people, super service, that's the Do It Center tradition. We're here to support you with answers to make your home improvement projects a huge success. Our aisles are filled with high-performance products, backed by our huge warehouse and an unbeatable guarantee. When you need to get that home improvement job done right the first time, shop with folks you know. The Do It Center, employee-owned for over 20 years.
Ben is in a sticky situation.
I got so excited for my fresh baked runs of cinnamon rolls that I forgot to grab a napkin.
Now you got cinnamon roll fingers, and they're so ooey.
And gooey. I can't grab a spoon to dig into my delicious homemade chili.
Maybe you should call for help?
Oh, I'll call my mom. Oh, I've ruined my phone.
Worth it, though. Come get Runza's homemade chili, fresh baked cinnamon rolls, and a napkin today. Because from the way we make it to the way it makes you feel, Runza makes it all better.
Christmas is not that far away, and while selections are at their best, Karen at Tallman Jewelers says she'll help you lay away for Christmas. Stop in at Tallman's for pre-holiday savings on diamond earrings and pendants, engagement sets, anniversary bands, and colored stones. If you have family heirloom jewelry that you want to give as a gift with a completely new look, give Karen time to work her magic by taking it to Tallman Jewelers today. Remember, Tallman's buys used karat gold. Tallman Jewelers on the bricks at 503 North Dewey in downtown North Platte.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 54. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight, lows around 36. Highs level off around 64 tomorrow. Weather is brought to you by USafe Pharmacy. The lobby is open and masks are required. Flu season is right around the corner. Get your flu shot today. 211 West Leota and in the Health Pavilion, North Platte.
And welcome back on KODY, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM. Glad to have you with you this evening here in the Bruce Furniture and Floor Covering Studios for the 2020 candidate debate. We begin this evening with both candidates for mayor of North Platte, that, of course, being John Hales, Brandon Kelleher. And we want to give a big thanks to our presenting sponsor this evening, North Platte Kubota and the DNN Event Center. We appreciate their partnership this evening and making our coverage possible here on KODY. Again, Brandon Kelleher, John Hales, both joining us in the studio this evening for our mayoral portion of the candidate debate. And guys, want to appreciate thank you both for joining us here once again this evening. And I think we've done it on the air before, but we'll congratulate both of you for officially advancing. George mentioned at the beginning of the hour, we went from 6 to 2, and by this time next month, we'll be down to 1 individual.
Right. I want to congratulate you both just for running and getting to this point, because it's a lot of work, it's a lot of commitment, and you know, you're on the spot a lot. So
yeah.
Thanks for having the heart to do it, and that's a big part of making a community grow, is people have the heart to run for major office. So
well, now
thank
now,
you.
Now we can both say, "Hey, I did it." you know, people always tell you,
yeah,
step up and do it. Well,
I did it.
We stepped up and
right.
did it.
Yeah, right.
Your turn.
So
maybe we should get a certificate that says we survived COVID-19 mayor's race or something like that.
Something like a T-shirt anyway.
Yeah.
Well, get a little bit off script here, as you both know we like to do here at KODY. Maybe a little bit more than what we should, but I think you bring up a good point here too. We're kind of getting into the campaigning side of things here a little bit, but I don't know who's up first next. We'll just go to you, Brandon. Brandon, tell us, how's the campaigning been here? Obviously, when you campaign for any office, it's unique. But when you're battling a global pandemic and campaigning, it gets that much more unique, I can imagine.
My opinion is complex is probably the best word to describe it, because you don't know really what's appropriate. You don't necessarily know who is okay with what. Should I knock on the door? Should I wear a mask? Should I back up 10 feet? Should I not knock at all? What really should I do? I'd have to say that it's just complex. And the thing that's really shocked me the most, and John and I have both been out walking around a lot, and I'm really stunned at how many people have voted already.
Yeah.
As a percentage, I'm pretty shocked, and I know that I was trying to reach out to the courthouse today just out of curiosity to see how many votes they have back. And I've seen a number of people in town that have a little I voted sticker on, meaning they went to the courthouse and actually voted already. So it's definitely an unusual year across the board.
I guess the word I use is stifling, because you were stifled on a lot of things that you wanted to do but couldn't. And like Brandon said, the door-to-door thing especially, you know, I think that is a huge part of what we try to do. And you just don't know the approach, the proper approach, because it's like you'd go to two doors and catch a person, and they'd be glad to see you, and they'd shake your hand and everything, you know, and they'd just flat out tell you, I don't follow all that COVID stuff, you know, it doesn't mean anything to me. And then the next person, they'd yell at you through the door 10 feet away because they wanted you to be cautious. Mm-hmm. So it did. It made it difficult. And I think the worst thing, and Brandon and I talked about this earlier, is when we saw each other 6-8 months ago, we said, hey, we'll be seeing you, you know, a lot of different places, because we knew we'd be going to events and shaking hands and kissing babies and that guy. And that totally disappeared. So you're going, okay, what do we do now?
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, it came down to yard signs is a big deal, I think, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just the advertising through the media, really, and doing this. That's mm-hmm. that's it, you know. So it made it stifling.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people nationwide that say, oh, that doesn't impact an election too much, the going door-to-door, the shaking hands and stuff like that. And maybe in a town like Chicago or Omaha that doesn't, but George, locally, campaigning door-to-door is huge here in Lincoln County.
I think
people make the argument that's what won Mike Groney his first term at the state legislature, is he went door-to-door.
I've seen some other seats in the last 20 years that I think have been decided because if somebody got out there and knocked on the door and left a card or talked to somebody for a few minutes, and that personal touch, can't hardly replace that.
Yep. Andrew Lee, I think, is a perfect example of it when he ran for council.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I think that's how he got elected, totally.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Okay, so getting back into some of the questions here, go ahead, George.
Is it my turn yet?
Yes, sir.
I want to drill in. I want to talk about housing, and that's a big issue. And there's about three questions. I don't know if you can address them all, but in my mind, there's about three questions. One is, do we have enough housing? We've had a lot of, I guess, upper end or new housing. We've invested in that through the Shot in the Arms programs. Do we have enough of that yet? And do we have enough affordable housing, which is enough to satisfy people on the other end of the income spectrum? And, of course, we've got renovation codes now that have been adopted by the city council. So that's another factor that you might want to touch on. So let's see. Whose turn is it? I think maybe John's. Yeah.
No, we don't have enough affordable housing yet.
Affordable. Okay.
When we started the Shot in the Arm program, we were short 800 houses. And, you know, we just got behind, and now we're playing catch-up.
Okay.
So there's people out there, I know, that will argue this point with you, but no, we do not have enough affordable housing. Of course, the whole idea behind one of the ideas behind the Shot in the Arm program was we wanted to build houses that people could upgrade. Say they were in a $80,000-$90,000 house and they wanted to upgrade to $150,000 on up. that would allow them to do that, and then we could have new couples, new families, first-time homeowners could go back and buy that $90,000 house that they could afford. So that was one of our thinkings in developing the Shot in the Arm program. And it worked, you know, and we knew immediately when the first Shot in the Arm money ran out that one of the things we said, people kept coming to us halfway through that program and said, we need to do this again, we need to do this again. So we brought out Shot in the Arm 2 because of that. And when it's all said and done, we have created over 200 houses through those two programs. So, like I say, we've got a long way to go, but we're getting there. Between that Shot in the Arm program, Habitat for Humanity, LCCDC, all three of those programs, we're getting there, but we can't give up on it. We need to continue with
Still away from the 600 target or whatever it was, right?
It was 800.
800,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got a ways to go still.
Brandon, what do you think?
I like my housing story here. Let me tell this story. This is my wife and I trying to find a house here in North Platte. And in answer to the question of do we have enough houses yet? And now we've been married for a little over 6 years now. And a little bit before we got married, we started looking around for a house. And I should mention that neither of us are particularly handy. So buying a house that we could remodel is not something that's probably in the cards for us if we want to stay married anyway. So I think that it would be a tragedy to say that it was easy to do. And we probably wore out a couple realtors because at almost every house we set foot in, my wife would be like, well, we're going to have to remove that wall and tear that down and change that and rip that out. And I'm thinking we're going to have four walls and maybe a not-so-good roof here when she's done. Mm. So that sounds like I'm blaming her. I don't mean it that way, but... So what we did finally find a house that we like, and we did put some extra money into it. But to expect that people are going to move to our town and buy a house for $150,000 or whatever the price is, and then turn around and put another $100,000 into it in the short term, making it look like they want to, very few people have those capabilities. I don't have that kind of money. Most people don't. And so they're not going to do that in North Platte. And that's probably kind of the root of why we have a lot of housing issues. And the Shot in the Arm program, John discussed, was exactly intended to address that scenario. And we do have to have more houses. The other story I can tell is trying to hire people in to work for me from the outside, and their spouses come in and they look at the housing stock, and it's not that the houses are falling down, it's that they're comparing the housing stock to Omaha and Lincoln and Denver, and where you can get these really very nice looking houses for $220,000, and you look at a $200,000 house in North Platte in general, and you've got to spend that $100,000 to make it look new. And young people in particular, those people we need to attract to North Platte, not only do they not have the money, they don't want to take the time. So unless they can pretty much walk into a house, or they're blessed with being handy, something like that, they're not going to do that. And that's why we need more houses in our community. It's that simple.
Okay. So you're thinking if you could bring in smaller manufacturing units, let's say 20 to 25 employees, that sort of thing. We still need more houses to attract those kind of workers and make them feel comfortable and welcome when they get to town, right?
Probably not the first one or two, but if we're going to get four, five, six businesses, then we're going to have to address that.
Cool.
Let's talk about your families a little bit here, gentlemen. Obviously, we know you're both married, so tell us about the potential first ladies of North Platte and your extended family and that as well. Brandon, we'll begin with you.
Okay, well, like I just talked about Terry, so she's now probably glaring at the radio. But
we can't see her.
That's right. We're okay. So, yes, I've been married to my wife, Terry, now for a little over 6 years. We've known each other for about a decade. When we got married, I inherited two stepchildren. They're both adults in their early 30s, and they live in Lincoln.
Okay.
Jan and I, high school sweethearts. We've been married 44 years. We've known each other for about 50 years. Jan's a retired RN. She was in the nursing business all her life. She was darn good at it, too. And But we're both retired now, and got three boys all out of the house, all gainfully employed and not asking for money, so it's working out good. I got two grandchildren live in Omaha, too.
Okay. And want to let our KODY viewers know on our Facebook page as well, if you rush on over to our live video, you can comment a question, and in commenting that question, if there's time and if the question warrants it, we can ask the candidates that question. So if you rush over to that immediately, we might be able to get to that.
Might have to hustle there. Yeah. We can talk about them tomorrow, though,
yeah,
in the
absolutely.
Morning.
Absolutely, we can.
Yep, that'd
we
be
can.
Great.
Of course, George will be our co-host tomorrow morning here for Mugs in the Morning on KODY as well. But next question's to you, George, with our favorite topic.
I kind of want to go back to a couple things that were mentioned earlier.
Okay.
You mentioned the rail park, and you said it was kind of seemed to be moving right along.
Yes.
When do you see that happening?
You know, as far as up and running, I couldn't tell you at this point. I haven't had that conversation with Gary to see if they've got an end date on it. But I don't know. It'll happen in 2021.
Okay.
I think it'll be up and running.
Okay. That's a good prediction. And, Brandon, you said you work for TK Engineering, I believe.
TC Engineering.
TC Engineering.
Many years ago, yeah, many years ago.
And what was that, and what role did you have there?
TC Engineering is an engineering firm still in existence here in North Platte. My father was a civil engineer, and I worked with him.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
My dad was, too.
Oh, really? What are the
odds? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I ran the dumb end of the surveying rod.
Oh, okay.
And I also was a computer-aided draftsman. I learned to do CAD and things like that.
Okay.
So I can read plans and shoot levels, but I would have to have a little refresher course to do it today.
Well, I ran the chain gang.
There you go.
You learn something new every day. Both of our candidates have that familiarity in their background.
That's pretty unreal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you could be co-mayors when it comes to engineering projects, anyway.
Yeah.
I think we should leave it to the engineers.
Yeah, well.
I'm all for it.
Now, and I have
it's
another question, too, is we are going to roll into the 6 o'clock hour a little bit here, but that's fine as long as it's okay with both of our candidates. We heard from John that he and Jan planted roots here. Jan's career brought her here, and then you obviously found a few career paths here, John. Brandon, when did your family come to North Platte?
My mother grew up here.
Okay.
I think she moved here when she was about 10 or 11, 12 years old. And my father came here after being in the Army in Korea in the mid-60s. I don't remember exactly what year. Probably 63, 64, or somewhere in there.
So did they meet here in North Platte then?
Yes, they did.
Okay, awesome, mm-hmm. awesome. More curiosity than anything.
Well, yeah, but your roots, both of you, go back pretty deep in the community.
Yeah, I'm originally from Iowa. Jan and I are both from Iowa.
Won't hold it against you.
I know. I tell people that.
As long as you like blues
John's
music, you're okay with me.
Right. You both bleed big red, and I know you're both looking forward to Saturdays, so that's all that matters at the end of the day.
There you go.